It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. As our technology evolves and the economy becomes increasingly entrepreneurial, the role of the lawyer and law school is changing. Websites like LegalZoom.com make it easy to compose legal documents without a lawyer. Small businesses want attorneys who can help them set up shop and be smart risk takers rather than obstacles to innovation. Stephanie Dangle, executive director of the Innovative Practice Institute, says because of the changing economy, 40% of lawyers are not currently practicing law, and 30% of law students do not intend to be lawyers. She joins us now, along with IPI faculty director Michael Madison, to talk about how the legal profession can keep up with the entrepreneurial economy. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Welcome. Thank you.
Stephanie, what's the mission of the Innovative Practice Institute?
The mission is to try to address those economic changes and to give students an opportunity themselves to be entrepreneurs and innovators, and also to learn how to represent innovators and entrepreneurs in today's society.
And when we talk about what's going on in today's society and the risks, there are risks that exist that maybe didn't exist years ago, and they're increasing, aren't they?
Yeah, certainly in the legal profession, I think lawyers have to be innovative to figure out how they're going to adjust their career plans to deal with the economy. And I just think that as more people are entering into entrepreneurship for economic reasons, lawyers have to be willing to adjust the way they practice law as well.
Michael, why was there a need to start the program 5 years ago, in your opinion?
So I came to Pittsburgh from the Silicon Valley, and I had practiced law out in Palo Alto and had represented innovators and entrepreneurs out there. And I could see the character of the economy in Pittsburgh starting to change. And I could see that there would be a demand for a different style of lawyer here, lawyers who are able to synthesize different areas of law to grapple with the risks that innovators and entrepreneurs face and be flexible and pivot quickly the way entrepreneurs and innovators have to, and build on the strong legal tradition that we have in Pittsburgh, but bring a new style and a new flavor of lawyering to the new economy that was emerging here.
And the new style, how does that manifest itself?
It's lawyers who don't see themselves so much as blocking risks and mitigating risks as helping clients understand risks and at times accept risks when those are appropriate.
So it's more about being more proactive.
Much more proactive, getting out ahead of the client's needs and goals, anticipating where the problems might come, seeing how different areas of law and legal needs intersect with one another and devising solutions for those problems in creative and innovative ways.
I'll toss this up to either of you, but why do you think that attorneys are so risk-averse?
I mean, part of it's the way legal education exists. I mean, they're told to look backwards to precedents as part of their decision-making process. And, you know, they view themselves as having a role in trying to avoid litigation. I mean, there's a focus in law school with the focus on case law to think more of it from a litigator's perspective. But when lawyers get into actual practice, they see that it's not just a matter of reading case law and making their decisions based on those precedents.
Rightly or wrongly, the impression that a lot of us get of law school is what was depicted in the paper chase. You're nodding your heads. Clearly, you know exactly what I'm talking about, where John Houseman is, you know, admonishing his students and saying, you know, you walk in here with a head full of mush and we've got to reprogram you. And there are these stacks of and volumes of cases that they must consult and be ready to call up in their mind at the blink of an eye. Are we, in a sense, getting away? Are we seeing society and law, practice of law, getting away from that, the way we're training lawyers, breaking the mold, in a sense, and getting them to think in a different way?
I think that's partly the case, that if you come to our law school at the University of Pittsburgh today through the IPI, we're definitely trying to expose students to the legal profession, to the practice of law, and to the content of the law in new ways. So by no means taking a big leap away from the classic model, but adding to it with new forms of experiential education, giving our students the opportunity to work in close quarters and in partnership with their peers at Pitt and their peers at Carnegie Mellon who are on the front lines of building innovative and innovative technologies and entrepreneurial enterprises, to see them, let them see firsthand exactly what it means to be a lawyer in this economy. One of the other things that has changed is that the historical bargain, let us say, that law schools made with practicing lawyers and law firms is that the sort of Professor Kingsfield paper chase style of Socratic method in law school was fine because students would graduate and go into law firms, and the law firms would provide the practical training to get students shifted from the thinking like a lawyer to practicing as a lawyer. The changing nature of the legal profession means that that kind of on-the-job training is much less common and much less rich in the practice of law today. So law schools are appropriately taking on more of the responsibility to get lawyers, new lawyers, sort of not completely ready to practice law the moment that they graduate, but more equipped to understand what the practice of law actually entails.
And what perspective do your instructors take that might be different from other law school professors and departments? Stephanie?
Well, I'm currently teaching a class in entertainment law and social enterprise, which comes out of my own experience of having done something different than the practice of law for 10 years. And so the course I teach has a component that is in the classroom that's more of a traditional class, but we also do an on-site component where law students actually work for an arts or entertainment organization to address the legal issues as they come up. So they get an opportunity to have the more traditional education, but also an experiential learning opportunity.
What are the things that are coming up in entertainment law? What are these students and prospective lawyers facing?
I mean, one of the issues that we talk about, which is based on my previous experience, is how do you finance an entertainment project? And having done that here, I can walk through the aspects of drafting a private placement memo or some other document that investors need, but we also get an opportunity to actually meet the producers and see, the obstacles they're facing in trying to get their productions off the ground.
We're talking with Stephanie Dangle, who's the executive director of the Innovative Practice Institute, and also faculty director Michael Madison, talking about how the legal profession can keep up with the entrepreneurial economy, the changing legal profession. What are some of the most creative uses that you are seeing?
Creative uses of the law degree?
Yes.
So we have former students from our program and our law school who are entrepreneurs themselves. I have a relatively recent graduate of Pitt Law who I mentored when he was here in Pittsburgh who moved to Las Vegas after he graduated from Pitt and is now an entrepreneur out there in the bowling industry, of all things. So just think about high technology and how it's applied to a very, very traditional old-style sport. And he's having the time of his life. We have former students, alumni of our law school, who are in-house counsel here in Pittsburgh for some very, very creative, innovative companies in Oakland, on the South Side, up in the North Hills as well. So doing more conventional law practice, although side by side with entrepreneurs. We also have former students of ours who are in law offices and law firms around town, some of the larger law firms in Pittsburgh that are very active in this space, some very small-scale law firms that are active at the counseling individual entrepreneurs or graduate students at Carnegie Mellon or Pitt who are thinking about going off and founding companies when they graduate.
For those who cannot benefit from the guidance of an incubator program, it's probably hard to know the ins and outs of starting a business and getting a product to market. Where can an understanding of the law come into play?
We have a program that we do with Project Olympus, the computer science school at CMU, called Start Smart, and we address a lot of the issues that an entrepreneur or an innovator might confront in trying to start their own business. So we go through everything from entity formation to finance to starting a company on an F-1 student visa if you're a foreign student. We also address intellectual property issues, and these are open to the public so that we try to get out there and meet people outside the university or outside the traditional incubator space and give them these opportunities to educate themselves.
And when it comes to intellectual property and other legal issues, what are some of the first mistakes that startup entrepreneurs can find themselves making?
So two things in particular. I would say intellectual property issues, number one, and employment questions and ownership questions, number two. The intellectual property questions that should be addressed very early on is, are entrepreneurs or innovators accessing earlier work or earlier material appropriately? Are they borrowing from previous ideas in a legitimate way? Number two, are they taking active steps to make sure that they've properly protected what they're creating themselves, either through copyright law or possibly through patent law or trademark law? On the employment side, or we'll say more broadly, the ownership side, if you are creating something or innovating something at a point in time where you are a student at a university or you're an employee of a company, but you might be doing a project on the side, for example, be very careful about who owns what in that situation. It's possible that the material that you're working on, there might be a prior claim to that by your employer or by your university.
Have those issues become – those intellectual property issues become more tricky in our highly technological society with all of the different media platforms that are out there?
I'd say that they have, because the pace at which creativity is conducted, the pace at which innovation is conducted, the ways in which people interact online in all kinds of casual ways, even if you're just hanging out with your fellow grad students or your fellow innovators or entrepreneurs in a garage somewhere hacking away at some project, you're likely to move through the night really quickly coding something and putting together a new app and not pausing to consider, you know, do we have ownership or who has ownership or should we putting together deals or bargains over allocating rights. You code first and ask questions later, and you can do that really, really quickly, and that's often understandable from the standpoint of the people who are doing the creation, but from a legal standpoint, that's going to lead to problems.
And as we look to the future, there was a time when I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but the perception of lawyers was more positive than it has been recently. With lawyers becoming more integral to this evolved practice of law, do you see the perception of lawyers perhaps changing for the better?
Let's hope so. I mean, you know, as far back as Shakespeare, we had people who wanted to kill all the lawyers. And, it continues to be a public relations problem for the legal profession. But I think the more that lawyers are involved in advancing their clients' ventures and that they're seen less as obstacles and more as partners in innovation, I think the perception of lawyers will improve as well.
We've been talking with Stephanie Dangle, whom you just heard, Executive Director of the Innovation Practice Institute, and also Faculty Director Michael Madison with the IPI, talking about how the legal profession can keep up with the entrepreneurial economy. Thank you both for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, a conversation with Pittsburgh native John Davidson about his starring role in the touring production of Wicked, playing at the Benedum. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.